Hi there, this is Naimish Modi for CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7. Hope you're having a great day. This piece features an interview with Coalition of Muslim Women, KW Director of Programming and Services, Sara Shafiq. This interview took place on June 22nd, a little more than 2 weeks after the murder of four members of a Muslim family in London. It was determined that the motivation for the attack by 20-year-old white man Nathaniel Veltman was hate-motivated. Sara and I discuss what the coalition has done in support of the 9-year-old boy who has been left without his immediate family. We also talk about ongoing issues of Islamophobia in Canada, while we also discuss what non-Muslims can do to be allies and combat Islamophobia.
Coalition was founded in 2010 as a response to Bill 94 in Quebec, and when the first attempt to banning the face covering and niqab for Muslim women, and that discrimination based on a piece of clothing was attempted to be legislated in the province of Quebec, and this was a response to what was going to that legislation, to that Canadian legislation. So a bunch of local women came together, wanted to share their perspective, voice how they're feeling as a Canadian citizen, and that gave birth to Coalition of Muslim Women. And the main focuses for Muslim women has been to empower Muslim women within the and provide leadership opportunities for Muslim women within the Muslim community as well as the larger community, and then also to build bridges of understanding between the Muslim community and the larger community. And so Islamophobia work has been there and as our focus since Coalition was founded.
Just switching gears to the tragic attacks from a few weeks ago. So I guess what reaction did you have personally when you had first heard the news of the attack in London?
Yeah, just really devastating. Just very saddened. Just horrified. It was really very tragic. There was a lot of emotions that were going on when we heard the news and received the details the next day. I believe it was Monday. It was just comprehending, trying to understand what happened, getting the details. It was really hard. It was really difficult, that day and the ensuing days. This is our work. This is what we do. For a long time, was coordinating the project Together Against Islamophobia. This is, we had to think of not just ourselves, but the larger community, how to respond, what to do to respond to the needs of the community. So it was really difficult. It's been really, lots of emotions going up and down for us personally to hear it from, just community as well. There was a lot of fear that many of the women, especially those who are visibly Muslim, they were very fearful. They still are. There's, just at the back of their minds. They were uncomfortable to go out. That was, reality. That was hard to witness. The children who were asking questions whether it's okay and it's safe to go outside and play. Setting up a stall. Is it okay if they do it around on the roadside? So those were really heartbreaking. Experiences and stories that we were hearing. And so, just responding to it, we held a vigil, other needs that came by. That was a really, difficult time. It was a tough time.
Yeah, and you mentioned it was tough. Would you say it was surprising, or would you describe it as surprising?
Yeah, so many were using surprising. That was something that we did not feel. We were not surprised at that, unfortunately. I mean, this doesn't happen every day. We are really thankful for that. But, we are very familiar with the underlying sentiment that is there. And because of that, we really see it as a tip of the iceberg. And many people, were also using the term senseless, that this is senseless. But, for those of us who are aware of what's going on and are listening to the news, listening to, to what is happening on the ground, they know that this wasn't senseless. Makes complete sense, demonizing a whole community for the actions of a few. So the way Muslims have been demonized in the media by the state, by security agencies, by our war machines. So there is a and the we know it from the polling. We know it from the surveys that are conducted with the Canadian population, that this sentiment, this xenophobic sentiment, is absolutely there, and it's just a matter of someone sort of acting upon that propaganda that is there, and they act upon it. So I don't entirely blame the 20-year-old. I mean, obviously he was an adult. Obviously he was, taking that action. So he has, much of the blame goes on him. He took the action. But those who brainwashed him, those who that the propaganda and that associations that people have created for him within the mainstream media, as well as the state and the way politicians have played their politics. So he took that sense. So I blame that association, blame that propaganda, blame those systemic sort of issues as well. So yeah, it makes complete sense to me and to those around me. And then with the war on terror, the way we are again associating, we are framing, Muslims as the enemies and those bad guys who are out there, and we have to go and we have to take care of them. When those people come here in Canada, they're still our enemies. Like, they're the same people, they're the same belief, they have the same beliefs, they have the same culture. So if they're enemies out, on the other side of the world, when they come back here for, it's those are the same people. So they'd be enemies as well. So in that sense, it does make sense. And no, it unfortunately wasn't surprising. This sentiment is absolutely there. It exists. It's a reality we face.
I'm speaking to Coalition of Muslim Women KW Director of Programming Sara Shafiq. So what can non-Muslims do to educate themselves on these issues and sort of be allies so we can cut out tragic events like this?
Yeah, we first of all, recognizing that Islamophobia doesn't just impact Muslims. It impacts all those who are perceived to be Muslims. So the first casualty of hate, Islamophobic hate, after 9/11 was a Sikh man, and Sikh community has suffered deeply because of Islamophobia. People, and Jagmeet Singh, in his campaign also had that incident as well. So all racialized people. This family was wearing South Asian clothing, so shalwar kameez. They were going out for their evening walk. This London family, and any other Asian community could have been targeted. That 20-year-old that didn't really come and ask them what was their exact faith. So first of all, there's There's that. And in terms of taking action, actually, Coalition of Muslim Women and you know, other national organizations as well. But we, you know, definitely we received so many personally as well as organizationally. We received a lot of you know, notes and outreach and messages and letters that were so supportive. They were really you know, heartfelt messages. They were sincere messages of, you know, feeling hurt, feeling you know, just feeling sad for not just the Muslim community, just I think Canadian community. So that was really heartwarming to receive those messages, those gestures personally. Neighbor of ours, they dropped some you know, just some food for us, and you know, just those were beautiful gestures that you feel, you know, people are obviously there are a lot of good people in our community, and that was good to you know, receive those gestures and those concern that those messages of concern. In terms of you know, taking action, this term Islamophobia, I think that we are at that stage that there we know, and you know, cases come up as well, that people are reluctant to even use that term. So, you know, at times journal phrases like racism or hate, you know, those general phrases are used to describe what Muslims are facing. And you know, one call and one encouragement that you do is to name Islamophobia, because unless we don't name it, it doesn't, you know, we are saying that it doesn't exist. So the reality is there, you know, Muslims feel it, and naming it, you know, in your EDI, in organizational or institutional equity, diversity, inclusion sort of initiatives, and in other places and policies, naming this sort of oppression is really important. So that was one thing that we were asking. Another was to report incidents of hate and discrimination in our community. So actually we launched 3 months ago in March this reporting system, this quite comprehensive reporting system that basically documents hate crimes, hate incidents in Waterloo region. And so the website is reportinghate.ca, and one can report online as a you know, if they're the target, if they're victims, then they can report for their own selves. Or if someone needs help reporting, if there is a language barrier, if they're not comfortable using the computer, someone can help them. A social worker or service provider can help them report these incidents and discrimination too. So, and if there's a witness, if someone has witnessed an incident, then we are really asking them to come and report it so that we can document these. We can see where this is happening, who this is happening to. So we have some evidence-based data, and we can provide solutions, and we can share this information, not the personal information, of course, but just the overall aggregate data and the community. We can devise some strategies you know, prevent this from happening, and devise some solutions. And this is not just for Muslims. This reporting system is for all those facing racism, Islamophobia, xenophobia. So it's for all racialized communities. And then there's also within the reporting system, there's an option of calling and reporting through the phone, so that we have a staff person and a dedicated phone where they can call the number and they can report through either text by calling directly, by WhatsApping as well. So that option is there. And the number is 519-722-2449. And there's an email option as well. So report@cmw-kw.org. That's another piece that we would like our allies and community members and larger from the larger community members to, you know, spread the word. And if they're witnessing, then they can report as well. Another is to bring in Islamophobia training to their organization, to their you know, service agency. And so we also offer that training as well. And that's another call to action, as well as there's MCC, Mennonite Central Committee. We're also partners with them. They offer active bystander training. And that's something that we are quite, you know, we do this together. We train together as well. And MCC offers many different sessions. And so we do encourage our community members to take that training. So yeah, these are some of the things that our community members can do.
Right. And is there anything that the organization did to support the boy that was left without his family or the family during this time?
Yeah, well, you know, so during our vigil, which was attended by almost 800 people and from community members, Muslim community, as well as the larger community. And, you know, that was really a beautiful piece of solidarity and support. So we were just posting. There was a fund that was set up for the little boy, and we were encouraging the community, whoever wants to donate, we were directing them to that donation page for that little boy.
Right. And I also understand that during the Zoom vigil, there was some hate that was, I guess, spewed during. Can you sort of tell me a little bit about that? And I guess how disturbing was it to see that in such an important such an important moment?
Yeah, I know that Zoom intrusion occurred quite, you know, after 2 hours or so after starting that. So it was quite jarring. Absolutely was, you know, one is sort of mentally prepared, but for regular meetings, but this one, obviously we were aware of it, but it was definitely quite jarring. And we, for a couple of minutes, there was that the intrusion was there. We couldn't make out. There were a couple of, it seemed like there were at least four or five individuals who were able to enter the room and cause disturbances and write hateful messages, which was just really difficult to just see in this, you know, the solemn sort of event that was going on. And you know, it was really a very just difficult to see that, but we had to take action. And we were able to take charge and bring things under control and remove those individuals within 5 minutes, so 4 or 5 minutes. But it was this is the reality that we you know, this virtual world that we are living in the meetings, this is the reality that that we face, unfortunately.
How do you think governments can contribute to the combating Islamophobia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know, in response to this horrific attack, Islamophobic violent attack, this was a call to action. Was a call was made to ask the government to arrange a summit and to organize a summit to discuss Islamophobia and to, you know, really put our heads together and really come up with actions that that would counter this threat. And government can you know, first of all, just at the political level, you know, this rhetoric, the political rhetoric that we see from certain quarters that comes up, using these identity politics and communal politics to create divides, and you know, so that, and those are aspects that that need to be included. Of course, you know, it's for us, Bill 21, now a secularism law in Quebec, is you know, just instituted there, and the government, federal government, is you know, not taking any action to counter, to address that really discriminatory piece of legislation in at their provincial level. So, you know, just going beyond just mere words, going beyond just making these statements of solidarity, but actually taking action against that really, really harmful piece of legislation. That, again, it's an Islamophobic legislation that doesn't just impact Muslims, it impacts, you know, our other community, faith communities, and our Jewish brothers and sisters, and Sikh brothers, and, you know, other community members. And so that piece of legislation, really, the government needs to do something about it. Online hate, you know, that is such a growing phenomena already. The genie seems to be out of the bottle, but now putting that back in, really taking it seriously, and that needs to be addressed, and something needs to be done about it. And just, you know, promoting and supporting organizations on the ground that are doing this kind of frontline work. Those are some aspects that are coming to my mind right now.
Today I spoke to Coalition of Muslim Women KW Director of Programming, Sara Shafiq. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news and other stories commissioned under the Local Journalism Initiative at canada-info.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca. For CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7, this is Naimish Modi. Hope you have a great day.